Hello and welcome to our program. We're in lesson number 2 of the story of Boaz and Ruth. As we begin in chapter 1, verse number 1, we read, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man, Bethlehem, of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons." And so we have a famine in the land. We have a family of 4, and they go to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now, Haggai, concerning this famine, we read, "Therefore the heavens over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit." Here's God talking now. "And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labors of your hands." Now, I'd like to spend about 2 weeks on that verse. God said, "I called for a drought." There's famine in the land. Where did it come from? It came from God. The disciple said, "Even the sea and the wind obey him." In Haggai 1:6, God said, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes." Well, we have a famine. And we have a family. What's this family going to do? It says, "A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons." A certain man, that phrase is in the Bible 31 times. Here it's talking about Elimelech. Now, what about this certain man? What's he supposed to be doing? The directions were plain. God gave them in Deuteronomy 6. "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Well, he wasn't doing that. He wasn't doing any of that. He was busy. He was a very wealthy landowner, if you read through this book. And perhaps, like many people today, "I don't have time to do all that. Teach my children diligently. I'll send them off to a Christian school. I hope the pastor gives them some information and they all get in line." No, when you stand before God, Dad, you're going to answer for how the kids turned out, not the pastor. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Well, Elimelech was a certain man, and so are you. It came to pass, it says here, that he went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. They went to sojourn. Now, verse 4 says they dwelt there about 10 years. Sojourn, that's the kind of word you would use if you were going to check into a motel for the night. They weren't planning on staying. Oh, sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. So, Moab. They went to the country of Moab. Now, to understand Moab, we need to go back to the sordid story we have back here in Genesis chapter 19 concerning Lot. It says, "Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his 2 daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his 2 daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in, and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. The firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger son, she also bare a son, the younger she also bare a son, and called his name Benjamin. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So what do we read in Deuteronomy 23? An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even under the 10th year, shall they not enter in the congregation of the Lord forever. The Moabites were cursed by God. Well, as we get on in the story, we have two weddings and we have three funerals. First of all, it says Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Then we read that two boys, they took them wives of the women of Moab. One's named Orpah, the other's named Ruth. What happened after that? The boys died. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. Well, as we get into the next verse, we find then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was. I like that line. She went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, why had the Lord decided to visit his people in giving them bread? Once again, he was in charge of the famine. He's in charge of the feast. What's happening here? Well, we read in Judges 3:15, and when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gerah, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Elgon, the king of Moab. And you remember that present was a dagger that they stuck into his belly, and he fell over dead. Now, why is there bread in Bethlehem? Because the children of Israel repented. They cried unto the Lord. If my people, the Bible says, who call by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. God keeps his promises. But he always waits for our action, and then he reacts accordingly. If my people, who are called by my name, number one, will humble themselves and pray, number two, and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, our action, his reaction, then he'll heal the land. Well, as they're heading back, Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with me, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Now, what he's saying, what she's saying here is, count the cost. I think you better go back. You don't know what you're getting in for here. You're going to Bethlehem. You're from Moab. Not a good deal here. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? See, remember, back there in the cave, the whole thing was they got to have children. And she said, you better go back. It's not going to work out for you if you keep following me. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they are grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Keep that line in mind. We're going to look at it a little bit more in a minute. So it's a time of decision. We read, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And then this very familiar portion of Scripture, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I'm in it, she said, for the long haul. Well, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. That phrase, steadfastly minded, has been translated courage 9 times. It's going to take courage if you're going back to Bethlehem with me. It's going to take courage if you're going to stand up and live for Jesus Christ in this age of apostasy that we're in today. Well, we read they came to Bethlehem. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Naomi? Boy, she's been gone for 10 years. The years have not been kind to her. Who's this Ruth? She's a Gentile? What's she doing here? She's a Moabite? Can't you see all the women in Bethlehem just talking? Well, have you seen Naomi? What a mess. And what's this with this Moabite woman that she's brought back with her? Deuteronomy 7, 3 and 4 says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away the son, thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. Don't be intermixing with these Moabites. Deuteronomy 23, and the Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Ezra 9:1, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abomination, even the Canaanite, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. The Moabites coming to Bethlehem. Well, we read in verse 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Here we are. She got this focus again. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Boy, she seems to be taking the blame for this whole thing on herself. I'm wondering if she didn't have a lot of influence in getting Elimelech to go to Moab in the first place. She seems to be taking a lot of pressure on herself. Well, it's interesting, when Adam and Eve sinned, God came and said, where art thou, Adam? Remember, it was Eve that got the whole thing going. But God says, where art thou, Adam? Elimelech had a responsibility, and he didn't keep it. Whether he was influenced by Naomi or not, we don't really know. But she felt that the Almighty had afflicted her. Well, we read in verse 20, so Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which went out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Well, barley harvest. Now, we have a harvest. We started this story with a famine. Chapter 1. We've said before, when you study the Bible, we need to have a point of observation, what is there. We need to have interpretation, what is meant by what is there. But most important, we need to have an application. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. It's not just a history story. It's written for our learning. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. They're written for our learning. They're written for our warning. And so, what application? What we need to do is focus on our families. They made some wrong decisions here, and the result was a tragedy. Judges 17:6, we read, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What should we do? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And Elimelech, that verse was there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't have to run off to Moab. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 9 and verse 29, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's it, your faith. It's talking about what we believe. According to what you really believe, be it unto you. Be sure to be with us for lesson number 3 in the story of Boaz and Ruth.